From the best-selling author of the acclaimed novel The Power of the Dog comes The Cartel, a true-to-life, ripped-from-the-headlines epic story of power, corruption, revenge, and justice spanning the past decade of the Mexican-American drug wars. Don Winslow is the author of The Power of the Dog. The new novel is The Cartel, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Don Winslow to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
What brought you down this path of wanting to write a novel about this particular subject, quite frankly, at this particular time?
Well, you know, I did the predecessor to this book about 10 years ago, a book called The Power of the Dog, which explored the origins of the Mexican cartels. And I didn't think, frankly, that I was going to return to that subject at all. You know, that was 5.5 years of my life, and it's a tough subject to research and to write. But as I watched things happening down in Mexico and the violence spiral out of control, and I live not far from the border, I felt I just had to come back to it and try, at least in a fictional sense, to explain it.
And in that explanation, what did you want to explore? And I assume there were questions you wanted to answer.
No, absolutely. You know, mostly the question, why? You know, I think that all fiction takes off from one of two questions, you know, either what if or why. And I was trying to explore why the violence had escalated to these nightmarish levels, you know, where 100,000 people have been killed there, 22,000 missing. And so I picked up the story I had started with in Power of the Dog about this drug lord and this DEA agent who now have engaged in about a 45-year vendetta against each other and use that story to explore the reasons behind the violence.
The DEA agent is Art Keller, and as you describe, he has quite a history with this guy. It's a blood feud, and he is head of this most powerful cartel. And ultimately, the story takes place when he gets out, right?
Yeah, you know, and that was the story is very, very closely drawn from reality. The characters are fictional, but most of the events are real. And, of course, there was a major drug lord, you know, back around 2004 who got out of prison and decided to reassemble the major drug cartel among six or seven squabbling cartels and take territory along the border. And that's really what tripped off the current round of violence in Mexico.
How much is what we see there and how much, even in this book, is really a story of revenge?
Well, quite a bit. You know, I think for the most part, the violence is tactical in the sense that, you know, cartels are trying to control this very valuable territory along the border in Juarez or Laredo or Tijuana and elsewhere. So somebody gets killed and somebody else gets killed, and then, but there are personal reasons as well. So sometimes someone will offend somebody. Somebody kills somebody's cousin, and then there's a revenge killing, and then that cycle never stops.
Because there obviously is that solitary focus on justice, but certainly revenge plays a part as well.
Sometimes it's hard to know the difference, isn't it, between justice and revenge. I mean, I think that comes, you know, across all the time, for instance, in the capital punishment argument. And I think Keller, the main character here, is struggling within himself to know, am I pursuing justice or am I simply pursuing revenge?
There is that moment in the novel where it just seems inevitable that he's going to have this final fight with the drug lord. And I assume that even though you didn't know initially that you would come back to this, when you took on the project, you knew that had to be the ending.
When I took on this project, I knew that the story needed a spine. Do you know what I mean? It needed something central to it.
Sure.
Because there are so many events and so many characters spread over a vast territory and you know, 10 or 11 years of time. And I knew that I needed to hang all those things on some sort of central focus and to keep the story moving forward. You know, at the end of the day, it's not a history, it is a novel, and so that needs dramatic momentum. So So, yeah, when I started, when I finally decided I was going to write this book, I pretty much knew that those guys were headed, you know, toward a final confrontation.
And you allude to this, you alluded to this earlier, and certainly make this clear in the book, but in 10 years, a lot has changed, and I guess the biggest thing that has changed is the escalation of the violence.
You know, absolutely. You know, the Mexican drug war became just that, a war. And there's a lot of reasons for it. You know, one of the cartels, the Gulf Cartel, hired its own private army. It lured special forces soldiers who had been trained in the United States to be anti-drug trafficking agents, lured them to come and be their own private army. And that touched off almost sort of an arms race among the cartels. Every cartel and even sub-cartel leader at that point decided that he needed his own private army, recruited among police officers, military, formal military, and very, very well armed. So that touched off, you know, a much higher degree of lethality, if you will. And then when Felix Calderon, you know, the Mexican president at the time, decided to directly take on the cartels, he realized he was outmanned in terms of police and decided to send in the army, which further militarized this situation. So you had cartel fighting cartel, the army fighting the cartel, the army fighting, in some cases, state police, the federal police fighting local police. So the degree of violence just spiraled out of control.
What drugs are we talking about? Marijuana, mostly?
Well, in the era that this book was written, yes, marijuana, cocaine, very importantly, meth, very importantly, because the Mexican cartels have taken over the meth trade, and heroin. Now, in the past year or so, since several states have legalized or decriminalized marijuana, marijuana imports from Mexico are down almost 40%. In fact, there are a lot of places in Durango and Sinaloa provinces aren't even growing it anymore.
Has the cartel system changed dramatically since you started writing about this? That idea that we have the foot soldiers and the middlemen, and then you go up the pyramid to this kingpin.
Well, that really hasn't changed very much. You know, they, like any big business, it goes through fluctuations in its strategies. So for, you know, the 80s into the early 90s, it was that classic corporate pyramid structure. Then it flattened out for a while to more of a horizontal sort of business model, and then came back to the top-to-bottom business model. What's really changed over the past 3 or 4 years is where prior you had 5 or 6 major cartels in various shifting alliances slugging it out for dominance. Now really the Sinaloa cartel has become the power, the dominant cartel that mostly runs everything. There's one other cartel, the New Generation Jalisco cartel, that is challenging. And so what's really changed is the dominance of the Sinaloa cartel.
I think you make 2 points in the novel that are really fascinating. One is that this is not a world for the small guy, that the cartels are big for a reason. And it's also not so much about a drug business as it is a territory business.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, I've said it before, the drug lords aren't really in the drug business. They're in the territory business. They're in the turf business. They make their money by controlling smuggling routes and the valuable turf on the south side of the Mexican-American border, which is, of course, 2,000 miles long. And so, you know, it's our simultaneous prohibition of drugs and our tremendous appetite for the drugs that makes that territory so very valuable. And the little guy just gets crushed. You know, a lot of times the lowest level drug dealers or gunmen, they might not even know which cartel they're working for. You know, their communications won't stretch up that high. They just get an order from the guy above them, you know, deliver this coke across the bridge, or they get an order, you know, kill this guy or kill that woman. At this point in time, they might not even know who gave that order.
It was one of the other fascinating things about the novel is the prevalence of social media. Another thing that has changed since 10 years ago.
That has changed drastically and changed the entire scene. You know, it really started with a group called the Zetas, who were at war with the Gulf Cartel, and they had been the bodyguards, the armed wing of the Gulf Cartel, until they broke off. And they got very sophisticated about this, and they started to put video clips of their horrors, killings, and mutilations out on social media. You know, you can Google it and get these things. And their sophistication rose to the level that they realized that they needed to control not only the action, but the narrative. They wanted to tell the story of what was going on. And then, you know, the other competing cartels caught on in turn and became very sophisticated about using social media. So it was surreal. You could follow the day-by-day goings-on the Internet.
You mentioned a moment ago about the impact that legalization had on marijuana and the drug coming into this country. So what does that mean for legalization? What do you think of legalization and its effect on cartels? Or is it in some ways too late?
Well, a little bit of both. You know, the cartels now control somewhere between 8-12% of the Mexican economy. So that's enormous. They could trigger a recession at will. So financially, they are very, very hooked into the economy. However, the legalization of marijuana up here has cost them tens of millions of dollars. The problem is with just legalizing marijuana is that still leaves them with cocaine, methamphetamine, and heroin. And part of the heroin epidemic that you're seeing up, you know, not too far from where you are, by the way, as you probably know, is as a result of this loss of marijuana revenue. The cartels have started to lower their prices on heroin and send more of it up. So it's had this sort of unfortunate ping-pong effect. But, of course, because heroin is still illegal. So I really think that the long-term answer is the legalization or at least decriminalization of all these substances.
Well, the book is fascinating and an awful lot of fun to read. It's The Cartel. It is published by Knopf. Don Winslow, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. My pleasure. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Again, the title of the novel is The Cartel, published by Knopf. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.